Okay. Hebrews. Let's pick up chapter 5, verse. We will just go back a bit. Let's pick up at verse 1 at verse 1, but I'm not going to cover all that again. We're just going to start. Okay. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer sins. As we go forward, Paul is beginning to graduate into the high priestly function of Christ. The first four chapters, he talks about his apostleship and his sonship as him being the messenger of God to the people. So not only is he's bringing a message as a mediator, he's not only bringing a message from God to man, but he also has to relate the weaknesses from men to God. In order, all this is to equip them to be partakers, to equip them to be suitable for the inheritance, which is the kingdom. They're going into a kingdom, and in that kingdom will be service. And he has to qualify them for that service. What will they be? A kingdom of priests to the nations. So one thing we do know from even from Leviticus or Exodus is that the priest can't have what? Any blemish. That's not just physical.
Did I say Paul?
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
Just like, a slip.
You know what? It's just by habit.
No. Because I started writing and you started talking more and more. And I was like, wait a minute. What book are we in again?
Yeah. The writer to the Hebrews said that.
I'm sorry.
So, I have to recover my thought now. She jammed me up. But
the last thing you said, you started remembering. But they couldn't have any
blemishes. Right. It's not just physical, right? Because when he's... All that was symbolic. You know, we talked about that part. It's really the perfection that they had to have was not just a physical thing, but it's spiritual. They had to be healed whole. They had to be whole physically and spiritually. And, you know, one of the things I was talking to somebody about, demon possession. It just came up. We were just talking. And today, you know, you think that people are possessed physically. When you think about the scripture, is the reason why those people were possessed back in Jesus' day physically, and they were maimed and leprous, palsy, sick, halt. They were physically corrupt because of the same thing we're reading here. He knew that Satan is the adversary, knew that those people were to be in a physical sphere. And they could not be a kingdom of priests if the whole place is defiled. So when Jesus comes, the whole land is sick. So when he comes healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. He's casting out devils, he's healing the sick, raising the dead. So they know that their God is here. And he's equipping them. That's just physical. So when you find that he run into situations like this, he say, take up that bed and walk. And they said, oh, he did that on the Sabbath. And he said, what's easier for me to say, take up thy bed and walk, or when he said one time, thy sins be forgiven. Yeah. And they said, who can forgive sins but God? And he'd say, which one is easier for me as a son of man than to say, take up thy bed and walk, or to say, thy sins be forgiven? Physical, spiritual. He said, I'm coming to do both. I have to Nicodemus, he said, you must be what? That's the spiritual part. So when the Hebrew writer, he picks up at the end of Jesus Christ's ministry. It's the same, what do we read? The gospel that was at first spoken to them. Well, that's the gospel of the kingdom that was first spoken to them. And the principle's still there. The gospels hadn't changed. It hadn't changed. They have to be healed physically. They have to be healed spiritually. Jesus Christ comes, the last messenger. He says, now, in 5, he said, every priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity? That's the natural priest. He's performing that office, and he has to offer for himself first, because he's not exempt. He's in that lot too. And then for the people, he's just a type. He has to be fit first before he could make others fit. Well, is Jesus Christ fit? Oh yeah. So if he comes in a different order, as we'll find out, and he says, I don't have to do it often like they did. When I do it, it'll be one time.
Once for all.
For all, right. So he says, you know what, just a minute. I'm thinking about this. He says, for who can have compassion on the ignorant and for them that are out of the way, for he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Well, we're just talking about that. Compassed with infirmity, where, you know, where the circumstances, he's well aware of his weaknesses as a priest. And I thought about Paul when he looks around and he sees all the infirmities in his that he's being subject to, the persecution, just even the weaknesses that he talks about in 2 Corinthians. And he goes to the Lord and he says, you know what? I want to get rid of these. And then the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect. And you think he says, well, most gladly, then will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's exactly where he wants us, is dependent on him to whatever it is. And the priest, he realizes that when he's in this office, he's aware of his shortcomings. Aren't you aware of your shortcomings as a teacher? Oh, yeah. I certainly am. Aren't you aware when you have to talk to someone? Oh boy. You know, part of you say, Do I really have to? Am I ready? Am I ready to do this, Blake? And you're like, I don't have enough information. You know what? Just go ahead. Say it. Speak it. You know, I think that information will come to you if you're dependent.
in a situation like that, you are dependent.
right.
You're falling away.
You know, and right, it could be bad. So he says, no, verse 4, because I don't want to tarry too long there. And by reason hereof, because of his infirmities, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. You know, on the Day of Atonement, he had to first offer for himself, and then he offered for the sins of the people. He was included. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. You know, the priest, he was called into that. Notice how the Lord, he goes from a whole nation, well, actually from a whole people, to pull out one nation, to separate one nation, separates one nation, then out of those 12 tribes, he separates one tribe to be the minister for him. And from that one tribe, he picks out 42 men, heads of families, and said, you guys are going to be my ministers to the whole tribe. And he gave them courses to do it in. Certain times where they could do it. They just didn't all rush up there and I'm do it today. Oh, I'm going to do it next week. Can you cover for me next week? As the priest, it didn't work like that. They had time frames where they did it. And God says, do it this way. Because this is not, it's not your doing, it's his. And no man, what, taketh this honor unto himself. But he that is called of God, as was Aaron. You know what? Can you think about that? That's a great opportunity to work for God, for God to want you to work for him. Can you imagine if he was speaking verbally today, he'd say, Blake, I want you to work for me. What would you say?
Yes.
Like,
yes, Lord, both.
He's like, I got nothing. He's like, I know. That's why I want you. That's why I want you. Let me give you what I want you to have. But what's that?
That way you can't brag about it.
You can't brag about it. You know, I was just in Texas a couple of weeks ago. At a conference, and so you got the program right, and all you got. Dr. So-and-so, Pastor so-and-so, and all the credentials all there. Then, you know what? Then it gets down to me, and it's like, Brother Frank Tanner. It's like, that's me. That's the guy. And I said, oh, so title is fine. The title's fine. I said, just make sure you're doing the work. And they're like, oh. And I told him, I said, those are the cuss words in the grace circle. Cuss word is grace and love. Those are cuss words. When you start saying that, and obedience, those are cuss words. You say, nah, what do you mean? That's, you know, where this scares us.
Well, we've been ruined by the Christendom on them, because they've made us think that we have to be obedient to all things that we can't be obedient to.
Exactly. I know you remember we were at the class, at the house. Yeah. I forgot her name, but you know what I'm talking about. Oh man.
Oh yeah.
He said that magic word.
Yeah.
But you have to obey.
It's like, wait a minute now.
Obey what?
Obey the doctor.
So. You can't watch this. We'll get back to my real lesson, but watch this. I love this. Watch this. 2 Corinthians. I think it's 2 Corinthians. verse, you know what? I believe I'm wrong. No, it's not. It's a different one. Let me find it. I don't want to go too far.
While you're looking, I was just thinking about where we were, where when it says, "No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God is the heir." This honor of an offering for sins. That's what it said the verse before.
Yes.
And yet, in the Catholic and like churches, they're not called of God, they're not appointed by God, but they do exactly that. They take the honor onto themselves to hear confessions and do offerings.
Takes away sins.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah. So, wherever they go.
Yeah.
Not far, though. No. 2 Corinthians 8.
8?
And this is consistent with taking an honor upon yourself, kind of boasting of those things that are beyond your measure. He says this, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 16. "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind." Read that again. "And we have sent with him," with Titus, "the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace." So we're talking about people taking honor upon themselves. Here's the Lord. He has this written. He said, "We're coming to get the money from the Corinthians." He said, I sent Titus and the brother whose praise is in all the churches." What's his name, Ed?
I was trying to figure that out. Is that Barnabas?
What's his name?
His praise, or would it be him? No.
What's his name, Blake?
John Mark.
What's his name, Sarah? What's his name? Everybody knows him.
Paul.
What's his name?
What?
Everybody knows the brother.
You think he's talking about himself?
Everybody knows him, and yet nobody knows his name. Everybody praises him, and yet nobody knows who he is. Is that humility? Is that humbleness?
Yes.
You know what? That gives me goosebumps. Because here's a guy that says, look, every church, they all know him. And the Holy Spirit, you know what? Doesn't even give you his name.
Right.
It's a lesson there. Mm-hmm. It's like, you don't have to exalt yourself. Everybody knows. If he walked in, that's the brother. If he walked in here, you're like, that's him. But I was using it in this sense. The perfect man. The perfect man is the mature man, the man who is always concerned about the other man. The perfect man is a lover of others. He wants what's best for them. And Paul said, everybody knows his praise is in all the churches. And yet, they didn't drop his name. When I saw that, I say, now that's good. The Holy Spirit put that there. That's good. That's good. So in Hebrews, he says, no man taketh this honor upon himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. There's that today again. So the son, it has been entrusted with the work, not the work of reconciliation, the work of propitiation, to equip the nation. And it's not just the nation, it's all of us. Think about this. When he's on this, when he's on earth, he is fulfilling the law, right? But you don't get it until, or John would say, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. They don't understand that. But Paul says to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So when Jesus Christ is, he's walking on earth, we have him doing a lot of things, Ed. He's our example. We should follow him in all these things. And, you know, what was he really doing?
Preparing.
Was he setting an example for you to follow?
No. He's preparing
the stuff. He's in the time. He's doing his work. And he says, you know, I am reconciling the world to myself.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I'm all of it, it's his purpose. He's equipping those who will, whosoever would, to be a partaker. So he has to die in order to make reconciliation for himself and for the sins of the people. It's to equip you, to make you whole, to make us whole, to take away the biggest obstacle, which is us. Look, what he said, look, he said, for them that are what? Out of the way. He said, you know what? You've gone astray. He said, that's what I'm offering for. Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. He's referring to the resurrection. He's after Christ is, well, you know what, just so you won't look, we just covered that a couple of, flip back to chapter 2. Chapter 1. He says, chapter 1, verse 5, he says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels worship him. You know, he's talking about when Jesus Christ came to the earth, that was his son. He made an announcement. This is my son. When he was baptized, when he began his ministry, he said, this is my son. In what? In whom I'm well pleased. You know, he was 30 years old. That's the age the priest begins to minister in the priest's office. When he dies, and resurrects, he said, "This is my son. This day have I begotten thee." That's what the Hebrew writer is saying. He said, this is what he means when he talks about his son. "This day have I begotten thee." When he resurrects, he gets an honor above all honors that God gives him. He doesn't take it on himself. He resurrects with the power that he did have it on earth, because he could say, "Your sins be forgiven." He could say, "Lazarus, come forth." He could demonstrate that power. But when he resurrects, that power is omnipotent. And just came Ephesians. Just hold your hand in Hebrews, Ephesians chapter. You know what? I just thought of a better one. How about Philippians? Let's try that. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20. He says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working," that glorious power working, "according to the working whereby," by that glorious power, "whereby he is able," he's able by that glorious power, "to do what?" Subdue. "To subdue all things unto himself." When he resurrects, being the Son to whom is given all power, he said, that power, he said, "I can subdue most of the things. Some of them. Many of them." He said, "I can subdue all things," what? "To myself." So here's who the Hebrews have working for them. This is the high priest now who they have representing him. Not like Eli. Not like Samuel. Not like Aaron, Nadab, Abihu. Not those, Eleazar. He said, this priest is different. It's different. He says, as he saith, verse 6, "as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Why is he now he's going into the priesthood. He said, just like those priests, they understand their infirmities. They understand their brother's infirmities. They understand the weaknesses that they're faced with. They offer sins for their weakness and for their brother's weakness. You know, Paul says this. He said, "A man that is overtaken in a fault," he says, "you that are spiritual, go to such a one in meekness, considering thyself."
That's what you were talking about earlier.
That it'll never happen to you. He didn't say that, did he?
No.
He said, "considering thyself." Anybody know the rest? "Lest thou also be tempted. So you know what? You can never say here what you won't do, Jeanette. I'll never steal. Excuse me, ma'am. Did you pay for that? You can never say what you won't. You can never say that. You're not considering yourself. That's, you can see it in other people, but when you consider yourself, you know what? Consideration leads to examination. Because you have to sit down and really think, like, what am I really capable of? It's like, and you might put a list on there, you know. You know what I said? I said, you know what? I'll never smoke. They don't like it. I'll never smoke. No, I'm not saying I had a cigarette. You looking at me like, okay, tell us. Did you? No, I just said I'll never. But, you know what? If I'm somewhere and somebody says, try the cigar. Just try a cigar. You know, a celebratory cigar. You know what? Okay. And now maybe I'll like it. And you know what? Yeah, I'll just have to have a cigar now. But I said, you know what? I'll never smoke. Not me, no. You don't know. You don't know, right?
The sad thing is we don't on a daily basis grow up out and not with the Lord, not walking spiritually. We don't consider ourselves. But with the Lord, when I'm talking to Him, I'm considering myself.
That's,
You know me, Lord.
That's, you know what? That's what the, I think the key is, just being aware of who you are. It's, you know, again, the Texans, you know, and I see these guys, they're, you know, everybody is. Huh? Oh, yeah, right. It's, and I'm looking and. Because this was the topic. He calls me up. He says, I'm going to ask you something. And he said, don't say no. I was like, I don't know what it is. He said, okay. He said, you've been turning me down for 2 years. He said, I want you to come. I want you to do this. He said, tell me you'll do that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I agree. I said, I'm going to try my best. My intention is to be there. I want to do it. I want to do that. So I said, well, what do you want me to talk about? What's the topic? He said, you know what? He said, you speak on your passion. I was like, speak on my passion? He said, yeah. He said, whatever your passion is, he said, you speak on that. That's tough. That's tough.
Pretty broad
sense. It's tough because I had to really stop and think, well, you know what? What is my passion? And I'm thinking, it's like, wow. It's like, what a topic. Mm-hmm. I said, let me get back to you. He said, take your time. So I slept on it. I slept on it for a week. And I'm reading one day, and it said this, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of the Lord, saluted you, always laboring fervently in prayers for you, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I said, that's my topic. I said, the passion for perfection. I said, that's my topic. I called him up, said, this is it. He said, "What does that mean?" I said, "You'll find out when we get there." And because, you know what, what we do is just for us to grow, to be mature, to be used. No other reason. I believe that. I believe that. And I know we're like-minded. I believe that. So, but everybody, you know, I'm not saying that it's different. I'm just, and everybody else had topics what is that? Like, is that your passion? The mystery, the dispensation of the mystery? Like, okay. They reminded me of a guy on TV. We'll get back here in a minute. He stood up. This is thousands of people, like a Joel Osteen kind of church. And he's led in. He says, when he asked me to bring this message, he said, "I went before the Lord and I'm thinking," you remember that? "I'm thinking, like, Lord, what do I tell your people? What do I tell your people in this day and age?" And I'm praying, and the Lord finally gives it to me. And I'm like, "This is going to be good." I pull my chair up. I'm like, "I got to hear this." And he says, "Now, turn your Bibles to Malachi."
Show me the money.
I'm thinking,
I'm coming to listen.
That's what he gave you? The money?
I don't think he gave him anything.
He looked at the checkbook and said, "I need this."
Yeah. He just made it.
You see, you know what? That's not a perfect man. That's not a perfect man. You know what? If his first look is at your wallet and checkbook and not your heart, that's not a perfect man. And when I heard that, you know what? You can watch Sanford and Son or whatever. But that's what I got out of the meeting. You know, I thought, this is for us. The message, I said, "Well, this is the message." I'm like, "I want my passion to be your passion." I told him, I said, "I want my passion to be your passion." Because that's what God wants. He wants all of us to have the same passion. It's just, you know what, just to help each other in understanding and growth in service. And if Paul said this, "And if any man be otherwise minded," he said, he'll let you know about that too.
So the guy that his passion was the ministry, there were some other titles like that. They were more interested in a knowledge corner rather than growing in the Lord and being available to the Lord and serving the Lord.
Right. Right. And that, you know what, listen, last year, who knows what my topic would be. Last year, my topic could have been anything. God knows 5-6 years ago what it would have been. I don't know.
Sure.
But they gave it. We ate it.
And it had some
love. And, you know, and they could have said, you know what, passion for perfection, or whatever, you know. But I said, you know what, this not. Anyway, let's get back here. Back to Hebrews. He says, verse 6, "As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." And that's a different, when he says a different order, it's a different mode, a different manner. You know, the priest came out of Levi. Well, what tribe was Melchizedek out of? Anybody know? He was before there was even a tribe. Melchizedek was priest before Abraham even had a son. So he said he's a priest outside of the priesthood. Different order. I can be after the order. I'm not from the Lord can say I'm not a Levite. But I can still function as a priest because I'm after a different order. You know, say, well, nobody gets this property but a Franklin. And you come along, you say, okay, you have entitlement to the property if you're a Franklin. But maybe there's a clause in there that says that this person, if they're a Tanner, they trump the Franklins. And I show up, and you say, what's your name? Are you a Franklin? I was like, nope. What's your name? I said, I'm a Tanner. Who gets it? Because I'm outside of, I'm that clause. Well, the Lord puts that clause in there about Melchizedek because the Lord has to come and be a priest to function as a priest, but he can't be a Levite because he's not from the tribe of Levi. So they can say, wait a minute. How can you function in the priesthood? You're not even a priest. You're not a Levite. He said, I'm not a Levite, but
come from another order.
I am a priest. Yeah. Well, after what order?
You know, I always confuses me because it's like,
why?
So I know, I don't know. It's like, how can he? It's not necessarily how, but how is it he's not related, or how does Melchizedek tie into God's priestly order? So, I mean, you were kind of, I was starting to get it where you were tying it in with the, you know, the so-and-so Trump, so-and-so. Christ trumps Melchizedek, is that why? But he's not of the tribe.
Okay. She wants to know how does
Melchizedek
fit in here? Yeah. All right. In Genesis, hold that. Genesis. Keep your hand in Hebrews and look at Genesis. And you pick up verse Genesis.
Christ
is not of the tribe of Levi, so how can you be
a
priest if you're not a Levite? So taking the Frank analogy, because Christ trumps Levites?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, right.
And Christ trumps
Melchizedek? Yes. Something like that. Something like that. Let's look at this. Let's see. Genesis. Say it again.
Melchizedek.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
Melchizedek's only in Genesis and Hebrews.
Yes, and I'm looking for the Genesis reference right now. Chapter 14, verse 17. Yeah. Right. It's just a little different spelling. But look at where we got Genesis 14, verse 17. You know, when Lot's captured, right? He goes into captivity, and Lot's Abram's nephew, and he goes to get him. He goes with some kings. They form a league and they go fight against these other kings. And the king, you know, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. And of the kings that were with him at the vale of Shava, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek is who? He's king, what? King of, right? King of Salem, what? He says he's king of Salem and brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And God blessed, and he blessed, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath, listen, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Now, Abram is going out, and he runs into the priest of the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth.
Sounds like Christ.
He's King of Peace. King of Righteousness. That's his title. And he said he's the priest of the Most High God.
You said Salem is Jerusalem?
Right. And you know what? That's a city. Right? That's a state. Not state, you know what I'm saying? Not,
state of being.
Right, state of being, right. That's the spiritual aspect. That's the political aspect. Thank you. That's the spiritual aspect of his priesthood. So, you know, we talked about those types. We talked about it. You guys probably missed this. We were just kind of running through it. Moses is what? He was a prophet, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. What about Jesus? Was he a prophet?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just covered those in a couple of chapters in Hebrews, right? First few chapters. Moses was a priest. You say, how's he a priest? How did the Old Testament be ratified? How was it ratified?
Intercessor between God and people.
Right. How did he enforce it? He did. When he instituted it, he sprinkled it with what? With blood. What about this prophet right here? What about this priest? Was Jesus Christ a priest? We're finding out now he's what? If he ratifies a covenant, what has to happen?
Blood.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Moses was a king. That's what we want to say. He was king in Jeshurun, which turns out way down the line to be Jerusalem. But anyway, he was a king in Jeshurun. Is this man a king? He'll be what? King of righteousness, king of peace. So you have Jesus Christ in his office. He's a prophet, priest, king. First few chapters of Hebrews, he's introduced as the prophet. We go on in the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He's what?
Priest.
What's left? King. He said, that's what I'm here for. He's a check, almost. It's a long day. Today is a long day. He's waiting. That's where they're introducing right here that this is where he's coming to function, and it's a priest after the order of what? Melchizedek. Because number one, it has to be, it can't be a temporal priesthood. So when he sheds his blood, that's why Peter said it's precious blood, because it's what? It's eternal. It's an eternal priesthood. It's eternal sacrifice.
And eternal can't be after the Levite tribe.
It cannot be after the Levite tribe. He has to order. He has to still perform the same function as the Levites, but it has to be lasting. And it has to be universal, just not for Jerusalem. No, it's for
that trumps Melchizedek.
So he has to bring up a priest after a different order.
Eternal and universal trumps. Ding ding.
Ding ding. Right. So, and it's not with somebody else's blood.
Right.
Or animals. Look at Hebrews 10. Oh, you know what? We're through. We got to stop there. We'll pick up next week, chapter 5.
Don't forget where you were.
Chapter 5, right?